Psalm 16, Song of Trust and Security in God. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another God multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you, do not give me up to Sheol or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
God, thank you so much for this day that you've blessed us with. Thank you for the opportunity to meet in your home with other believers, the family of Christ. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for voices to lift up in worship. And thank you for your word. We pray that as we've listened to your word, you will now speak to us and that your spirit will open our hearts and our minds to receive your message. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Every day, you and I have the opportunity to choose to follow Jesus. So over the years, many people have asked me, you know, why did you become a pastor? And I wish I could say it's because I've always been a real holy, you know, person. But I think Annalise, my wife, and my tennis friends will testify that unfortunately that's not the case. So I'm sorry if I, you know, disappointing some of you. But in 1980, when I was 16 years old, I became a Christ follower. I became a believer. And and then the Holy Spirit reminded me that when I was 6 years old, I had this desire to become a pastor. And I talked to my pastor at the time about it, and he gave me a passage from Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, to pray over. And it was then that I felt God calling me to ministry. I mean, when you ask pastors how come they entered ministry, most of them will tell you they sensed a call, a calling from God. And so I felt God's call. And so I had a decision to make, right? Listen to God's call or not. And I chose to follow Jesus and go into ministry, to seminary. And it's not always been easy. And I'm sure there have been many times when I've disappointed God. But here I still am, you know, after 28 years of serving three different churches. And hopefully this will be my last church. but you see, we all have a choice in who or what we follow in life. And to live a Christian life involves choosing to follow Jesus. Now, for some of us, that choice was or it is easy. For others, it was or it is hard. Maybe like me, the first time you made that choice is a very long time ago, or maybe it was just recently, or maybe you're still considering this choice and you're wondering what it means and what it involves and what it asks of you. Now, even though this psalm that we just read is attributed to David, King David, some scholars believe that it could have been written by a Canaanite, by someone who was already living in the promised land of Canaan, where God, remember, led the Israelites after the exile from Egypt and the long 40-year journey through the desert. Someone who chose to follow the God of Israel, even though doing so would have been a departure from their background and culture. For some people, their upbringing and culture and background may make choosing God a sort of default option. Whereas for others, choosing God may involve a choice for something new and something different. Regardless, we all have the option to choose the gods we have made. Gods like vanity or pride or money or a political party or some kind of politician or self-centeredness, the endless gods we tend to make in life. You can choose to follow the gods you create. Or you can choose to follow the God who created you. God who's not only the creator, but also the redeemer and the sustainer. For this year's journey through Lent, we're drinking from the fountain of grace. And we're looking at different images of cups in the Bible and how they help us connect with God on a deeper level. How they enable us to know more about what God's relationship with us is like and what our relationship with Him should be. And on Ash Wednesday, I don't know if you remember, we talked about the cup of fasting. The first Sunday of Lent, we looked into the broken cup, our broken lives. And last week, Jesus invited us to drink from the cup of living water. So the psalmist says, in verse 5, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. He says, you hold my lot. He uses the image of a cup to talk about choosing God. He says, you, Lord, are all I want. You are my cup. You are my choice. And that is in stark contrast with those who choose another God. It says in verse 4, those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. It says, worshippers of other gods will have much sorrow. Those who turn to idols will have much pain. Now, the cup here is a way of describing what a person's life is going to be, what it's going to be like, what their lot in life or their destiny in life will be. Because you see, the cup you choose in life will steer you in a particular direction. And it will also have certain consequences. In some places we read in the Bible, this involves punishment or suffering. For instance, verse 6 says, on the wicked he will rain coals of fire and sulfur. A scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. The wicked will drink nothing but a scorching wind. Isaiah says, Jerusalem, wake up, stand up. You've drunk too much from the cup filled with the Lord's anger. You've swallowed every drop and you can't walk straight. So the cup you choose can involve punishment or suffering. Or it can involve blessing and salvation. Like King David wrote in the well-known 23rd Psalm, where he says, you treat me to a feast while my enemies watch. You honor me as your guest and you fill my cup until it overflows. It says, my cup brims with blessing. Well, like in our passage for today where the psalmist writes, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. He says, you, Lord, are all I want. You're my choice. And you keep me safe. You make my life pleasant and my future is bright. What you need to understand, though, is that when the psalmist says, the Lord is my chosen cup, he's not claiming the power to control what happens to him. Okay? Be clear about that. Most of what happens in life is beyond our control. We all know that. God is in control, and we can't manipulate God. So rather, what the psalmist is choosing is to follow God. That's his choice, to follow God. It's an expression of trust. It's a confession that in doing so, in making the choice to follow God, God will protect him and take care of him and his life. And so I think a good way for us to think of it is this way. It's more about positioning yourself to receive God's grace by choosing to follow him. Positioning yourself to receive his grace. Because God's grace and what happens to us is not something we can control. God's grace is not something we can earn. We do not earn grace, but when we turn away from false gods and turn toward God, we are in a position and a posture to receive what God offers. Even our ability to choose to turn toward God is made possible by grace alone. Choosing God is certainly not a human achievement. It's more a response to the gift and the promises of God. In Deuteronomy 30 in the Old Testament, Moses stood before the the Israelites, and he challenged them to choose their cup. He said, "Today I am giving you a choice. You can choose life and success or death and disaster. I'm commanding you," he said, "to be loyal to the Lord, to live the way he has told you, and to obey his laws and his teachings." So he said the better choice for you in life is to position yourselves to be able to receive God's blessings. So, you know, how do we do that? If we can get a little more practical. How do we position ourselves to receive God's grace? How do we attune ourselves to God? So what we see in our scripture passage is that the psalmist confesses his faith. It starts with faith. It begins with choosing to follow Jesus, to have faith in it. And so he says, "Only you are my Lord." He expresses his trust in God. He says, "I run to you for safety." What we further see is that the psalmist is looking to God for instruction and for help. And as a Christ follower, you talk and you listen to God in prayer and you get into his word. You read scripture, you engage with God's guidebook for life. He says, "I praise you, Lord, for being my guide. Your teachings fill my mind. You've shown me the path to life." What we further see is that he's attuned to God through praise and rejoicing and gratitude. He says, "I praise you, God. With all my heart, I will celebrate. You make me glad being near to me. Sitting at your right side, I will always be joyful." And so the question and the challenge for us today is, will we follow Jesus? Will we position ourselves to be shaped into the vessels we were created to be? Will we choose living water and share it? And will we choose to follow Jesus in the moment? In the moment. Now, if you're anything like me, then you probably also have an unhealthy thinking pattern at times. What happens to most of us is, you know, you magnify the problem. You allow one mishap to ruin your whole day. Or you let your whole life revolve around one problem. Because it's easy to choose to focus on the problem instead of God's power. To focus on the circumstance instead of on Christ. To focus on the situation and not the Savior. So we get distracted, by these other gods, and we lose sight of following God. So what will happen if in that moment that threatens to overwhelm me, I choose to remember God's presence with me, that is always with me? What if in that moment of relational conflict, I can choose to let go of my need to be right and choose God's peace instead? What if in that moment of anxiety, I can choose to surrender my fears and believe God's promises to me? Or what if when that temptation comes, I choose not to give in, and I choose God's way instead? What if when I'm about to lose my temper on the road or with my child, I remember God's grace and His forgiveness in my life, and then I choose to show that grace and forgiveness as well? So it's all about the cup we choose in the moment. We can choose to look beyond our problem and lift our gaze up to God and His presence. We can choose to hold on to God's promises instead of our problems. The question is, what will your choice be? Because every day, we have the opportunity to choose to follow Jesus, to follow His way. May God's grace enable us to say, God, You are my cup. You are my choice. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, so often we get distracted by the gods we create in our own lives. We lose focus on You as the eternal God. So often in the moment, or not in the moment, we choose not Your way, but our way. Or I pray that Your Spirit will work in all of us and enable us to choose to follow Your Son every day and in every moment. Will You bless us as we position ourselves to receive Your blessing? And we thank You today for Your love and Your grace, and that we can focus on the fountain of grace and drink from it deeply during this time of Lent. And all of this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.